Warning! This is a high-speed roller coaster ride that includes sudden and dramatic acceleration, climbing, tilting, dropping, and backwards motion. You can support this podcast on patreon.com/firstpawmedia.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. On today's show, we talk about the coaster that started it all. I rode this for the first time when I was probably 7 or 8 years old. Located in West Virginia's only amusement park, Camden Park, the Big Dipper is a lesser known but classic wooden roller coaster which can deliver a fun ride if you're willing to trust it. Built back in 1958 by the National Amusement Devices Company, it is still standing as an ace roller coaster landmark while sporting some stylish trains as well.
Welcome to the Coaster Geeks Podcast. Is your favorite the Beast, Millennium Force, or Lightning Rod? Whether it's an old Woody, a steel Giga Coaster, or a hybrid, we will chat about it here. Each summer, Robert and Michelle Forto travel the country and search for the best roller coasters. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Camden Park was my home park when I was a kid. I grew up in Huntington, and Camden Park was only 8 or 9 miles away. What was even cooler is every summer, Ashland Oil, where my grandfather was a bigwig, would have what they call family days. They would close the park down just for the Ashland Oil employees and their families, and we would have a picnic, they would make some boring speeches, and on and on. This is the first time I ever learned about exclusive ride time, or ERT as it is known in the coaster community, and we could ride the rides as much as we could handle. It is worth mentioning that in the 1970s, the Pronto Pup, what you guys call corn dogs, stand was right next to the Big Dipper. These were not your ordinary corn dogs. These were foot long, and I would slather these bad boys with a gallon of mustard. On our second annual rock and roller coaster tour, Michelle and I went about as big as you could possibly go. We flew down from Alaska to Denver and started driving east in a rented Ford F-150. By the time it was all said and done, we had ridden more than 100 coasters and had visited parks from the Rockies to New England to Texas and everywhere in between. By the time it was all over, we put more than 7,500 miles on that brand new truck and started an annual tradition. The trip included a trip to Camden Park. This trip included a visit to Camden Park. I had not been there since those days when I was a little kid. The last time had to have been back in the late 1970s. I know, right? Anyhow, we were here, and there was the Big Dipper. I'll let Michelle tell you the rest of the story.
Before I begin the story about Robert's Big Dipper, I need to mention my first coaster was also called the Big Dipper, but it's the more famous one on the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. So, right off the bat, this Big Dipper gave off some sketchy vibes. When Robert parked the truck, the first thing you could see was the sign, nearly covered by hedge overgrowth, conspicuously missing a letter. Hopefully this wasn't a sign of things to come. We're at Camden Park, right? Or did we end up in Zombieland? Unfortunately, though, it kind of was. Once you enter the station and took a look around, you realize there is only one worker operating the ride. One. Talk about old school. Sheesh. Obviously, this led to less than stellar capacity, but the wait wasn't bad enough to where it seemed egregious. It's quite the sight, though. A one-man ride op crew. For one cycle, he had to cross over the track and unlock the single entry gate. Not a row of gates like at most parks. Check every row's lap bar, walk back over and dispatch the train using a manual handbrake, sit there and wait until the train came back, walk over to the exit area and manually unlock every lap bar, and finally unlock the exit gate. And that's right. I said manual handbrake. This handbrake had a little extra assistance holding it together. seeing the device that controlled the train stopping and starting being held in place by a rope is not the most reassuring sight. And it's funny because otherwise manual handbrakes are so cool and even rarer than they are cool. On the Dipper, the handbrake actually operates the ride. Speaking of lovable vintage coaster accessories, this coaster is still running its original NAD Century Flyer train. These babies are hot stuff in the coaster community due to the nostalgic aesthetic and rarity, as they are only used by two other rides, the Thunderbolt at Kennywood and the Cyclone at Lakeside in Denver. Though the Century Flyers on the Thunderbolt look great, the Flyers here on the Big Dipper are showing their age. Overall, it's not terrible, but it's still kind of sad to see one of the famous front lights knocked out. We were practically the only people in the park. It was later in the evening when we arrived, and it was raining pretty good. Robert pulled up and had me jump out and run up and ask the girl in the ticket booth if the Big Dipper was even open. They assured me it was, and we bought our tickets. We were the only ones to ride the coaster that day, and Robert sat in the front car. I quietly asked the ride attendant if I could film the whole thing. He said, sure. In most parks, this is a huge no-no. You can get thrown out of most parks if they catch you with your phone out, much less recording. I settled in the seat behind Robert and started to record. He had no idea. Now that you're in the station, you can also look out into the coaster structure, where you see semi-rotten wood mixed with retract sections. Some of the support bents got quite the shakedown as the coaster traversed the layout. Again, not the best sight for oncoming riders. Once you board the trains, if you're at all tall, you might find the seats a bit of a squeeze. As me and Robert found out, both of us having to angle our legs sideways to even fit inside. After all this buildup of uncertainty, the one-man band ride op releases the handbrake and you begin to roll out of the station, looking up at a crooked lift hill. I need to add here, not only was the ride op guy looking like he was probably as used up as the ride, he's wearing disheveled clothing while he's smoking a cigar the entire time he's operating our ride, just to give you guys a little bit more of the atmosphere that we were dealing with. Ride experience. After a short climb, the train disengages from the chain lift and you go down a modest dip before rising back up to about the same height as the lift. A wide panoramic turnaround follows and then you drop down the big dip of the ride. Going down that actually can provide some ejector air because of the Dipper's lack of seat belt. That's right, it's lap bars only here, a la the Phoenix at Nobles, and that does add a lot to the ride. You certainly don't bounce up and down to the extreme that you do on Phoenix, but it does give the Big Dipper a little of the throwback, out of control sensation that wooden coaster enthusiasts crave. After that main drop, you take another wide, slow turnaround before a second larger dip into an enclosed turnaround. This elongated tunnel section is kind of cool. Again, another feature that adds to the ride experience. Following this, you hop over on one more bunny hill and then coast into the brakes. That's it from this relatively short figure eight layout coaster. Here's my take. Because of the apparent state of the structure and the operations of the ride and the park, I can't say I really let myself go on the Big Dipper, aka I couldn't trust the technology and enjoy the ride like I do on most roller coasters. Once on the ride, the lack of seat belts and old rumbly wooden feel were fun as long as I kept the visions of the support structure out of my mind. I do believe the park has continued to retract more sections of the coaster since our visit in 2016, so maybe it looks more solid solid now. I don't recall it being rough, just appearing as if it could use some TLC. I know a lot of people have praised this ride for having a classic old-timey feel, but when we visited, I got more of a negative rundown vibe than positive nostalgic enthusiasm. It's kind of too bad. I know Robert felt the same way. Right?
Yep.
Because we were only there for a brief time before moving westward on a big coaster road trip to come, and because of our experience on the first ride, it was my only one. This rating is based on that, but if the park does continue its upkeep, maybe I'll have to give it another shot sometime. It wasn't a bad experience. It was just one of the few coasters to make me uneasy. Big Dipper scared me more than Valraven at Cedar Point ever could, in a positive way, though. Robert, what are you giving this coaster on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being the worst ever? Say an old concussion ride like an Aeroclone at any number of parks, or a 10 being, say, Banshee or The Voyage.
I'm going to give it a 4. While it was my first coaster and the one that started it all, I am surprised it is still standing. I am glad we got to experience it, especially all these years later. It sure did bring back a lot of memories.
And you know, I'm going to agree with you there. It's a 4 for me too, because the entire reason we went was for you to revisit your childhood. I was glad that it was still standing, as you said, and I was glad that you got the opportunity to enjoy it, even if it was the last time you'll ever go there. We have it on video, and we hope that you'll check it out. Okay, guys, that's the show for today. We hope to be back on the road later this summer in 2021, if all goes well with the COVID vaccine, and we have plans to visit Dollywood, Holiday World, Kings Island, Kentucky Kingdom, SeaWorld San Diego, and maybe a few more. If we do, we plan on doing a live show and, of course, a full podcast after our visit. Please be sure to follow us on social media. Just search the Coaster Geeks Pod. See you next time.